Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's been amazing as always. I love it. Being here is coming home.
Yeah. Amen.
I know no other place. I've been on the mission field, as Brother Brent was saying, all my life, which means I've been part of this church all my life.
Right.
I was one of the little punk kids that we have now running around. I was one of those back in the day, running around Brother Lindell's legs and he yelling at me, "Hey, get back over here. Don't you run anymore." Now I'm the one telling, "Hey, get back over here. Don't you run anymore."
Yep. Praise the Lord.
It's nice. It's fun being on that side. But you know, Magda, my wife, she mentioned the new faces, which is, praise the Lord, we got new faces. You know how much of a blessing it is to see new faces? Like, hey, I don't know you. I want to know you. What's your name? Hey, I love it. Joel, brother, I love your hugs. You're reminding me of my grandfather who loved to hug everybody. I don't mind that one bit. I know some people do, but I don't mind it one bit. Polish people don't like hugs so much. Just put it that way. I was like, always an awkward moment when you go meet someone. I want to hug. They're like, no. I love it. But you know what? I see a lot of the old faces. And I don't mean old as in age. I mean old as in faithful.
Thank you, Lord.
There are, the old is there too, but the old faces, which means you guys are still here.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
My Aunt Marty, she showed up and shocked the living daylights out of me. She shocked the daylights out of me and brought back memories from San Luis. Everything just suddenly just flowed over me. Man, what a blessing that there are still people faithful to our Lord Jesus. I know a lot of people have left for whatever reasons, but a lot of you are still here. And I praise God for that.
Amen.
I praise God that I have you guys here. And the blessing that it is that you guys are here helps me a lot when I'm over there. That you guys are here praying for us, supporting us.
Amen.
And it's just an amazing blessing.
Yeah, it is.
So I would like to just share some things that are on my mind. Something that the Lord put on my heart. In Jude, verses 20 to 25, if you could open your Bibles, please, to Jude 20 to 25. If you're looking for chapter 2, good luck. And you're wondering why I didn't give it a chapter, you know why. Jude 20 to 25 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen."
Amen.
Powerful message right here. It's a powerful thing, but something that stuck out to me that I read my Bible a lot in Polish, and you miss this. There are some wordings that are just a little bit different. When I started reading just recently, trying to prepare for the mission conference, something jumped out at me that I normally didn't see, haven't seen. In verse 22, it says, "making a difference."
Amen.
And I know the point here is talking about two different types of people, that sometimes you have to have compassion with some, and some you have to just, you know, like literally make them fear hell of where they're headed to. And you're making that difference, of course. But what really struck me was, am I making a difference in people's lives?
Amen.
And I started pondering this thought about myself making a difference. And as I looked at it, I began to see certain things. I began to see mainly four thoughts that came to me about making a difference. And if we want to make a difference, and I started thinking about it, the gospel makes all the difference.
Amen.
The gospel is where the difference is. It begins. I mean, that's what we're doing, right? We're preaching on the streets, telling people, listen, Jesus is the only way, not tradition.
Amen.
We're telling people, we're wanting to make a difference. Say, listen, that is not right. This is truth. That is wrong. That is false. Jesus is the only way. So we're making a difference in that sense, but we also, by telling them the gospel, we are giving them the opportunity to make a difference in their lives.
Amen.
Their lives can make it. And remember the difference that made in your life when you got saved?
Amen.
Can you remember how different your life started?
Amen.
Like suddenly your life was transformed because someone told you the gospel and it made a difference in your life.
Yep. Amen.
And that's what we want, to make a difference in people's lives. But if we want to make a difference, there are certain things we cannot be to make that difference. And sometimes we forget these things. I would like to just mention these four, hopefully quite quickly. I don't want to keep you all night, but I want to mention these four. The first one being we cannot become complacent if we want to make a difference. Verse 20 says, in our text, it says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves. Building up yourselves requires effort, requires energy, requires you to do something to build. Now, not all of us are very good at building, but we know what it means to build. We know that it requires some forethought before we do it, some preparation. As Monica mentioned, we were building our house, or had our house built, in other words. I didn't do like in Mexico where we built our own house. I was not interested in doing that. I left that to the professionals. And I'd like to live in a house that actually doesn't leak. If I built it, it would probably more likely leak in multiple places. So I left it to the professionals. But building a house taught me, there's a lot of things going on. It's a lot of phone calls, a lot of preparation. Hey, do you want to do this? I don't know. Hey, do you want to do that? Hey, you know, I lived in Toro and building a house in Austin. Oh man, what a hassle that was. Hey, but you know what? It required me to build. And to build, I had to be prepared. And that meant I'm not happy with what it is right now. I need to be on top of things. I need to know. I need to know the lingo. I need to know what these guys are asking and talking to me in Polish. Cause I have something like, this is the first time I'm doing this. And I was like, I can't rely on my wife because she's never heard of these words either. So I was like, okay, I got to figure it out. And I learned a lot. But you can't be complacent if you want to make a difference. It says building up yourselves, which means you got to focus and think, and ask yourself, am I satisfied with where I'm at now? If you're satisfied, you're stagnant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're satisfied and not growing and not building and not doing anything, you're just in the pond growing whatever they have, what they grow with, algae, going green.
Amen.
Nasty, stinking. Not a place that makes a difference.
Amen.
The New Testament is full of the word edifying, isn't it? Apostle Paul talked about edifying almost every epistle, almost everything he wrote. He talked about edifying. Whatsoever you do, do it unto edification. And that's what we try to teach our church. And everywhere we go, look, when you come to the meeting, come prepared to edify.
Amen.
To build. Because we're not happy with where we are. We want to be blessed. We want to be reminded. We want to be touched. We want God to remind us of our issues and our problems so we can fix those things.
Amen.
And it's not a one-time fix. It's a continual fixing every single day. Because what happens? We are falling apart.
Right.
And we need the edification of the church.
Amen.
The church needs edification. And it needs you and me to be part of it. Which means you need to be here. If you're not here, you're not edifying.
Right.
If you're not here, we can't edify you. And you can't edify me. And we need each other.
Amen.
That is the church, the body of Christ. In our lives, this is true in our own lives, we should be building our spiritual lives to have a better relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We should not be happy with our relationship and say, you know what, I've reached the pinnacle. I have finally made it and I know what I'm doing and I'm good. I got it. That will never be. On this earth, you will never, and if you're saying that, you're just lying to yourself.
Right.
You should never, we should never ever say, I've made it. I've reached the top. Yeah? I'm now at the top, and I know I got everything figured out. I don't even think Brother Lindell has everything figured out. But he's got a lot of things figured out. But there will never, on this earth, have it all figured out. It's true in our own jobs, our daily lives. We should be building relationships in our jobs so as to not be a hindrance to the gospel. So that people we talk to, or maybe someone else who talks to, says, hey, I know a Christian in my home, in my place. He's a Christian. He acts like a Christian. He speaks like a Christian. He even tells me, and I know it. But how many times are we satisfied with everything that we don't see anything and we become complacent and where we are and we become a hindrance to the gospel? I don't want to become a hindrance to the gospel.
Right,
I don't want ever anyone that I know to say we'd be a hindrance to the gospel. The gospel doesn't need any more problems. We need to get out of the way. We need to just say, focus on the Lord and say, Lord, you take care of it. I don't want to be the problem.
Amen.
But too many Christians cause too many troubles and problems where there's not necessary. It's unnecessary. And it's true in our devotions to God. We should be building our devotions to Him.
Amen.
Every single day, not become stagnant. If we want to make a difference.
Amen.
And you know what? I want to make a difference.
Amen.
I want to make a difference. I can't just sit down and be satisfied
right.
with where I'm at. I can't be satisfied with what I have. I can't be satisfied with what I've accomplished. I've accomplished nothing.
Amen.
All we do, as my wife mentioned, we are unprofitable servants. We are here to work for Him. To do what He tells us to do. We should never be content, like I said, mentioned about our devotions to God. And there's a verse, Philippians 3, 12 and 13. I'll just read it for the sake of time. You know it. It says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
Amen.
What is he saying? He's saying what happened before, I'm forgetting it. I'm looking forward.
Amen.
What I did yesterday, praise the Lord. If I did it right, praise the Lord. If I didn't, I'll learn my lesson and do it right today.
Amen.
We make mistakes. It is the human nature. We don't do everything perfectly. Ask our wives. They will be brutally honest. Usually. But you know what? Paul said, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. I'm not already perfect. I will never be already perfect.
Amen.
There will always be some area in my life that I need fixing.
Amen.
That I need reminding. That I need to work on. Always will be something. So to not get complacent, what do we need? We need a vision. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
We need a vision of the lost and dying world.
Amen.
We need to let that sink in, that life isn't all about waking up, having your coffee at Dutch Brothers, enjoying your on the way into work, and then going in work and sitting down, putting in your 8 hours, and clocking out and going home,
right,
and repeating, rinse, wash, and repeat.
Wow. Yeah. Amen.
That's not what life is all about if you are a Christian.
Amen.
If you are born again, you have a duty, an obligation. We all do.
Amen.
To do and to act and to be an ambassador of Christ.
Amen.
People should look at you and say, I want what he has.
Amen.
He's got something that, man, it sticks out. It makes a difference.
Amen.
And we should make a difference.
Yeah.
Our lives should make a difference in other people. They should see a difference between you and the rest.
Amen.
Like, amen.
You're weird. You're strange. You don't curse. You don't say the same jokes that we do. You have a different attitude. You're happy. You say praise the Lord. I don't know if you do that or not, but when I worked in Bill Miller's, I was constantly saying praise the Lord. They're like, it's weird. It would shock the living daylights, especially my manager's like, they're like, what are you doing? I'm praising the Lord. Why? Why not?
Amen.
Doesn't he deserve the praise?
Amen.
Now they're stuck. They say yes, or they say no, no. Like, go ahead. I said, you're here because he decides you're here.
Yeah, amen.
You have the job because God gave you the ability to have this job. It's all because of him.
Yes.
We have nothing. We can do nothing without him.
Amen.
Jesus said that. You can do nothing without me. So I was like, wow. Can we make a difference? Oh, we should make a difference. Our lives should make a difference, should touch people every single time. We should, and if we're not, well then we need to refocus and think, am I making a difference?
Yeah. Amen.
Can I make a difference? Can I today change my attitude to make a difference in someone's lives tomorrow?
Wow. Yeah. Amen.
When I wake up and I go into work, can I make a difference? Can I not laugh at the bad things and refrain myself and I tell the truth and say, hey, I don't think that's quite right.
Right.
I don't think we should use God's name in vain.
Amen.
Do you know how many people use it and don't realize they're using it?
Yeah.
I've spoken to people. They're like, I am. Oh my God. Oh, I did it again. Oh my God. They're like, yeah, you did it again. And they did it again. And you're doing it again. Like, really? I don't even realize it. Oh, can we make a difference by telling the truth?
Wow,
or are we scared of making a difference? Of being a little different? Hey, live on the mission field, especially as a white boy living in Mexico. You're very different. John has no problem to blending in. He blends in. Those of us who are born there, we say we're Mexican, and any Mexican that sees me, I say, I was born in Mexico, I'm a Mexican, they go, de veras. Come on, really? Yeah. I can show my birth certificate. You know, I was born there. Yeah, right. You're not Mexican. No. I'm different. I don't mind that. Someone recently said, Josh, when you speak Polish, you have an accent. When you speak English, you have an accent. When you speak Spanish, you have an accent. I guess I must speak angelic or something. I guess I have a language that you lack that you just don't recognize. It's fine. I may be different. I don't mind being different. I'm different. Brother Linda, Brother Billy Kid saying that, yeah, I'm different. Thank God my wife had pity on me. I was so different, she had pity on me. Blind, pity, mercy, all of those things. Hey, I'll take it. 19 years later, we're still going strong, so 18 years. So hey, I think that's pretty good.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Second thing we cannot do after considering of being complacent. So we cannot forsake our convictions. We got to stick to what we believe.
Amen.
We got to stick to what we know. We got to stick to the Word of God. Because it says here in verse 20 in our text, it says, But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Most holy faith. Faith. I think our faith separates us from a lot of religions, don't you think?
Yeah, amen.
I think we make a difference between our faith and tradition. I don't believe I'm a religious person. I believe I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not religious. People are very confused in Poland when I say I'm a pastor, but I'm not religious. And throws them for a loop. That doesn't quite fit in their mentality. Because if you're any kind of a leader preaching the Word of God, you gotta be religious. I said, no, I don't gotta be anything. I gotta believe the Lord Jesus Christ and I gotta follow His Word. And guess what? That's exactly what I'm doing. That's why I'm not religious. Because I don't believe in traditions of men. I believe the Word of God.
Amen.
And I follow the Word of God. And you know what? That's what keeps my marriage together, the Word of God. And you know what? That's why my children are in church, because of the Word of God. That's why we teach and we preach and we go out and we do all we can. You know, I pray and I beg the Lord for mercy for our young people who are here, that they stay in church, that they realize what they've been given is a huge blessing. Don't knock this, what you got, young people. Believe me, you stick with it, and in 20, 30 years, you'll look back as I'm looking back and think, whoa! Man, what a blessing. I've been part of something that's much bigger than me.
Amen.
I was able to be part of it. I came back as a 19-year-old punk thinking I knew everything until I stood up once Wednesday night and shared something, and brother, Steve Dalross. He came up to me and he knocked me down a few pegs. Like, okay, I guess I'm not as great as I thought I was. Hey, you know, there's nothing wrong in coming to a place that challenges you and shows you the truth from the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
I wanted to make a difference. And you know what? I submitted.
Amen.
I submitted to the pastors here. I submitted to what they wanted. I did what was required. And praise the Lord, I went back as a missionary to Poland.
Amen.
None of the things that I did was of my great accomplishments. I still don't believe myself as the greatest of anything. I do my best with what I have.
Sure.
That's all I can do each and every day. And there are days when I shoot myself in the foot, where I put my foot in my mouth and I say stupid things, and probably I've said a few things here tonight, which is common for me. It's okay. We do what we can. We do what
Amen.
We...
Amen.
And we preach. And I want to make a difference.
Amen.
That's why I talk to people. I want to be involved in people's lives. I've always wanted that. I've always wanted, and I always wanted to be around people. That's my grandfather's DNA in me. Always being around people. My people always wanted to be around people. Always wanted, always loved people. And that's what I loved about him. He loved people. He made a difference in people's lives. At his funeral, which I remember, I think he made a big difference in a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
I want to make a difference in people's lives.
Good point.
I want to make a difference in people's lives. We have convictions. We must stick to them. Convictions about prayer. That can change the power of prayer, that can change things. Oh man.
Yeah.
We heard about prayer recently. If you weren't here for those evening meetings, man, they were good. Prayer was one of them. And you know what? I think some of us, and I myself included, are neglecting the prayer. The prayer life, I think, could do a lot of work.
Amen.
Amen.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, the Bible says. I think we should work on that.
Amen.
Convictions about hell and why people should stay away from that and get out of that. Why we should preach. Even here in our text, it says about hell. It talks about another saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Man, are we too scared to make a difference that we are not willing to grab some people by the shirt coat and pull them out of the fire? Are we too scared to hurt their feelings, to tell them the truth, that hell is real? People don't like talking about hell too much anymore, do they? It hurts people's feelings. It's too much. I think we should talk about it. I think we should preach on it. Not in the sense of just harping on it, but hey, people should know. Amen. You don't change your life now, you're headed in the wrong direction.
Amen.
I don't think you're going to like the place you're going to go. We should tell them.
Amen.
We should never forsake the conviction about the worth and potential power of a single soul getting saved.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
There's joy in heaven over one soul
that
repented.
Amen.
Amen.
Joy in heaven. Hey, you want to make heaven sing? You want to make people rejoice in heaven? Preach someone the gospel.
Amen.
It may not happen now. It may not happen tomorrow. It may happen in 20, 30 years down the line, but hey, there will be joy, at least potential joy in heaven, if you at least, and definitely there will never be joy in heaven if you say nothing.
Right.
If you shut up and say nothing at all, there's not even that potential possibility.
Amen.
I want to make a difference. I want people to get saved. I want Amen. At least one soul. I want at least one soul to get saved during this conference. I want at least one soul to stand up and say, I am fed up with my life and I want to live my life according to the Word of God.
Amen.
You know what? That would be worth it all.
Right.
All the money, all the effort, all the planning, everything. If one soul repenteth. That's what we want. That's what we preach. That's how we go. That's why we're down there. That's why we're in Mexico, we're in Poland, we're in other places preaching because we want at least one soul. Hey, if we get more, bonus. Man, I at least want one soul. Number three, we cannot waver in our commitments. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy and for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's our commitment. Keeping, staying steadfast, committed to a single purpose. Not getting bogged down by problems and situations. And I know there are a lot of problems and situations coming along. And a lot of people are in a lot of difficult situations. But we must be committed. This world does not like the word commitment. Especially when it comes to marriage. They're not ready to commit to any single person for the rest of their lives. They want the freedom. They call it freedom. I call it stupidity. I call it being irresponsible.
Amen.
Commitment demands a certain amount of effort that you are willing, no matter what, day in and day out, to be committed to a single person.
Amen.
Right, Brother Eddie? To that person. Oh, she may annoy you and frustrate you, but guess what? So do you.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Men are stupid.
Yeah. Amen.
Do stupid things.
Amen.
And our wives need us to slap us over the head sometimes and say, hey, you're being really dumb right now.
Amen.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong in challenging your husband before he blows up the house. Nothing wrong. Are you sure you want to put those wires together? Are you sure? You know what? I'll call someone. Commitment. Are we not committed anymore? Have we grown so weary that we've even forgotten about our commitment when we got saved?
Yeah.
What did you say? Lord, I will serve you for the rest of my life. I guarantee you said that. You said, Lord, I give myself to you. Lord, I want to serve you. Oh man, a little bit of time goes by and we forget. You know why? Because I'm the same way. I know that. And we have to be reminded. We have to be refocused. And thank God for these mission conferences, for revivals, for meetings, for church, for believers who read the word and come and prepare to share. Amen. That's why Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all the meetings are important.
Amen.
Because you need to be reminded.
Amen.
You need to refocus your commitments.
Amen.
Amen.
Mercy. Isn't that a marvelous word?
Yes.
Isn't that one little word just changes, makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah,
mercy. Man, I'm so glad God had mercy on me.
Amen.
Are you, aren't you happy?
Amen.
Aren't you happy God did, isn't this mean judge in heaven looking down, ready to pounce on every little mistake you've made? Thank God. He is merciful.
Amen.
He is merciful. That's why it says here, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it and I want it. Why? Because I make a lot of mistakes.
Amen.
But let me ask you something. How is your preaching? Are you preaching with mercy? Are you talking to people with mercy? Are you remembering the kind of mercy he had on you? Are you using the same, are we preaching with mercy? Or are we a little bit sometimes very judgmental, very quick to point out things, very quick to show? Or are we saying, you know what? I was once where you were.
Amen.
Yeah, that makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It makes a whole lot of difference when you're preaching to someone and said, hey, you're an idiot, you're going the wrong way, you need to change your life. Instead of, or maybe saying, you know what? I was once going down that way.
Amen.
I once made same decisions you made.
Yeah.
I once did what you're doing right now. You know what? Someone came to me.
Amen.
And someone looked at me and they said, I want to give him the gospel.
Amen.
And preach the gospel.
Thank you.
Mercy. I think that's a great, great, great thing. I'll go down to my last point. We cannot fail to have compassion if you want to make a difference.
Yes.
Talk about mercy. It says here, and of some have compassion, making a difference.
Yeah.
Compassion.
Right.
Oh man, if we would just preach with a little bit more compassion, would our message get through a little bit better? Would people be a little bit more interested? Oh, I know they won't be because it's the Word of God. And this world hates the Word of God. But I know there are some people out there hungry for the Word of God. I know there's one or two. There's some good ground out there somewhere. Oh, I know there's a lot of thorny and stony and every other kind of ground. But there is some good ground.
Amen.
You know why I know? You're here.
Yeah, amen.
You were one of those good grounds. Something fell in your heart and in your good ground. And look at the fruit that's bringing forth.
Thank you, Lord.
And if it's not, let's change that.
Yeah.
Let's make a difference. But I know there's good ground somewhere. That's why we're preachers and we share we just throw the seed out. And I don't know. Hey, have you ever sown anything? I just recently found out that there's ways you shouldn't sow. You can't just go out and I recently had my land. I had it all redone and ready to plant and I had to sow some seeds for my grass and I wanted the grass to grow. You just can't go out and just drop seed wherever you want. I want seed here. I want grass here. I want grass here. Guess what? You're going to have patches. Maybe. If you don't forget to water it. But man, you got to sling that thing. You got to make it fly. You got to let the wind and you got to let it just fall and let it spread out for it to grow. It'll grow. Praise the Lord. It grows. The word of the God will grow. somewhere. I guarantee you. The Bible says His word will not return unto Him void.
Amen.
It will make enough of a difference in somebody's life. Just preach it.
Amen.
Share it.
Amen.
Have compassion on people. Go out there. Care about their soul enough that you're willing to step out of your comfort zone. And go out to the people where they are. Because I'm sorry, not everybody's willing to come in here. Oh, we would love that, wouldn't we? People are always angry at us why we're always preaching on the streets. Go to the church and preach there. There's no one there! I don't want to preach an empty church, especially Catholic church. I may do it once. They won't let me ever again. I want to preach where people are. I share the gospel where the people gather. And on some, having compassion. Compassion should move us to action. Isn't that what Jesus said? It says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true today, as it was back then. No shepherd? What a shame. There are people without a shepherd. No one there to show them. Let's go to that, if you will, please. Matthew 9. I'll finish with this. Matthew 9. Because it falls right in line with what this mission conference is about. Matthew 9, 36. What I just read. I just quoted that. But when he saw the multitude, right? He was moved with compassion. In verse 37, Jesus said something. Then saith he unto his disciples. Jesus said what he said. Or he saw what he saw, right? Saw the people had compassion. He turned to his disciples. What did he say? The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Not very many people making a difference. We need more people to make a difference. We need to make a difference. To make a difference, we gotta get out. He says, the harvest truly is plenteous. There is so much. What do you say? Verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Amen.
It all started, do you know when? When he had compassion. He said what he said after that because he saw the people and had compassion on the people.
Amen.
And realized there are sheep without a shepherd. Can we look at the world in the same light as Jesus did? Can we make a difference and look at the world as sheep without a shepherd and say, hey, I know the shepherd. I know. I hear his voice. He calls me and I hear his voice. Guess what? You can hear him too.
Amen.
You don't hear him now. You can hear him. And I praise God, even they have a couple people, my Uncle Melvin, I forgot your name, brother, here in front. What's your name, brother?
Nick.
Yes, brother Nick. They don't have great hearing. You know what? But they hear the word of God.
Amen.
Oh, they hear the voice of God speaking to them. And all, you believe me, that's far greater than hearing my ugly voice. Compassion.
Thank you, Lord.
Someone had compassion on you.
Yeah. Yes,
Jesus had compassion on you.
Thank you, Lord.
Had compassion on me.
Amen.
I finished with this question. Are we making a difference in the world we are in?
Yeah.